Colossians chapter 3 for a moment, and we'll read verses 12 through 17. June's already there. Okay, let's read here. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must also do. But above all things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. It is nourishment to our souls. It has been published, preserved, and passed down for us specifically so that we may know you, your heart, your intentions, your love, all of the things that you have brought to bear in bringing us into a holy relationship with you. So, Father, as we dwell upon it, just clear our hearts and our minds, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, have us to discern those things which you would have us know about your Son. We just commit this time to you now in his precious and holy name. Amen. There's a show on TV called What Not to Wear. It's on like one of the cable channels. And Scripture, of course, had it down a long time ago. You know, God has told us what not to put on, and he tells us what to put on. And so I thought that's what we would go over today is really to look at the garments of Christ or the apparel that Christ would have us to put on. It's not something that we have to buy, but it's something that he's already provided to us. All right? So we'll go through that. And these three verses really contain all those things. So there's his closet. You can kind of look at these scriptures, these verses as being a closet. And here's all the garments that he would have us to wear. They're already pressed. They're already clean. They're already just, they'll fit perfectly. And he desires to have us, therefore, as the elect of God, to have us to wear these things. But it's that word, therefore, that's my translation in verse 12 that really says, well, okay, therefore, if we're the elect of God, well, there's got to be something that frames these garments. There has to be something in the previous verses that tells us why we even have access to these garments. So if we can just go back up to the first verse of the same chapter. All right, we're going to try to frame these garments into why it makes sense that he can say, okay, therefore, this is what I would have you to do. All right? So I'll read the first 10 verses of the chapter. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of this earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in great glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanliness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked, when you lived as them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and you have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. We're talking about the apparel of Christ, those garments that we have ready access to. And verse 1 of this chapter really puts things in a God perspective. And as I was preparing for this, these are things that I need to step closer to. If you look at that first verse, if then you were raised with Christ. And the way Robertson puts it is that he calls it that if in there. It's not something that's hoped for. It's a condition of the first class, which means it's already settled. It's done. It's over. Right? We've moved on from this point and we're moving forward. So we could easily put in this verse, now that you are raised with Christ, or since then, now that you have been raised in Christ. And it's a past tense thing. And I think it's important to understand that, because that's what needs to come first. If we're to partake and know a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, we have to be raised with Him. We have to be in Him. We have to know Him as our Savior. Now, for those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, it's a past thing. It's all been settled. The issue has been settled. So, if here is really something that is past tense. Well, if we're raised with Jesus Christ, then we must be buried with Him. That's the other thing. You know, maybe the older folks here in the room, and I'll include myself, is, you know, we've seen those old westerns, you know, where you've got the champion, he's riding on the white horse, and there's somebody in distress, and he's riding along, and he picks the person up, and he slings them on the back of the horse, and off they go, right? That's not a picture of God. That's not a picture of Jesus Christ. Because in the most important thing there is that Jesus doesn't just pick us up and take us to heaven. There's issues that have to be dealt with first, right? There's issues, our sin issue. He cannot just pick us up at the point that we are in our lives and take us off to heaven where we could be in glory with the Father. Because the issue of sin hadn't been dealt with. So in order to be risen with Christ, we must be buried with Him. Well, can we be buried with Christ? Absolutely. You turn to Colossians, just a chapter back, chapter 2, in verse 12 and 13. Here's the picture of the gospel. Chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. We are buried with Him in baptism, in which you also were raised with Him through faith in the working of God who raised Him from the dead. And you, here's our past state, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, and now here's the current state, He has made alive together with Him, having forgiven all of your trespasses. We have to be buried in Christ. That point, this is a great mystery, that point of Calvary, thousands of years ago, when you and I were not on this planet, we were buried in Christ and He was reconciling our sins and taking care of it all. So now, by faith, we receive that work that took place 2,000 years ago. And we acknowledge that He died for our sins personally. And now we can be raised with Him from the dead. And He can take us into the heavenlies. We must receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior before we can wear any garments, before we can take anything of God that He would have us as a free gift. We need to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. We must be buried with Him. So then we can be raised with Christ. Being raised with Christ offers new opportunities. Is it a one-shot deal? You know, we got saved. Do you remember that point of salvation, how excited you were? It's like, okay, I'm getting it. I've got it. Right? I understand that now I am free from this burden of sin. And then as your life goes on, and let's say you blow it in some area of your life. Any area, fill in the blank. All right? Is it over? Are the new opportunities over? No, we're renewed daily, aren't we? Every day, we have new opportunities in Christ. We talked about it several weeks ago, where we have human choices that we have to make, right? But we have divine appointments. Being raised with Christ means that we have infinite new opportunities to show forth the Lord Jesus in our life. That's the first thing. We are to seek where Christ is, who's sitting at God's right hand. That's still in Colossians 1:1. We are to seek those things which are above, where Christ is. He's sitting at the right hand of God. That's a position of power, authority. All right. He is exactly where He should be in God the Father's eyes. Going to Robertson again. Robertson Word Pictures. It's Kathy got it for me as a gift. It's a wonderful way to break down the verbiage in the Bible. He's just has got a command, or had a command, of just taking Scripture and parsing it out and really making it just come alive. And what he says about this verse is that he puts it this way. We are to be looking and seeking those things, the upward things. The upward things. And it put to my mind is that, you know, daily we should be looking up and say, is today the day, Lord? Are you coming today? But not only should we be looking forward to His coming, but we should be seeking those things which He desires to see in our lives so that we can be a blessing to Him. We should be seeking the upward things. And we see a lot in the New Testament. The New Testament is laid out with goals and things that the Lord Jesus wants to strive for in Him, because we can't do anything outside of ourselves. And what a contrast it is to the Old Testament, where there's rules, there's regulations, there's foods that have to be avoided or partaken in. And it's all done by rote, and this is the law, this is what has to be done. But we have the opportunity as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ to wear these garments that we're going to get into, all right? Having the Holy Spirit that indwells in us, and we can strive for those goals and those things that are from above. We have to be setting our minds, as it says in Colossians 3:2. Set our minds on things above, not on earthly things. And what that means is that we should keep thinking about the things that, and setting our minds to the things that are above. You know, it does matter what we think about. And we are responsible for our own thought process. You know, the world would say, well, okay, you might be able to hold me to the things that I do. I mean, we should go to court and we should probably, you know, we should litigate some of the things if you think I'm doing something wrong, all right? So I can see where you can hold me accountable for that. But God actually looks at it from the standpoint that you are responsible for your thoughts. And I want your thoughts to be flooded with the things that are from above. It doesn't mean that we just totally ignore the things that are on this earth, all right? But they shouldn't consume us. They shouldn't be all that matters. They shouldn't be actually taking away from looking towards those upward thoughts. And you know, the area that I see in it, it's very troubling. And for you that have young children, it's something that you know you'll have to deal with. It's this wonderful thing called the cell phone. I mean, you just see it in today's environment where you have teenagers, pre-teenagers, they're just literally consumed by this thing. They can't either get it off of their ear or they can't get it out of their hands, and it just has become something that's all-consuming. Those are the things of this world. That's what Satan does. He'll consume you with something that just excites the senses, right? God just wants us to put these things in perspective. He comes first. Our thought process should be based on what He wants us to be dwelling upon. It's very important that we understand that we need to be setting our minds on things above. Verse 3 of Colossians chapter 3, for in Christ we died. That's another allusion to this baptism that we have. We have to be baptized into Christ. The Holy Spirit has to be baptized into us, right? We have to be raised with Christ, so then therefore we can move forward in a way that God would have us to move forward. I like this. Our life is now hidden in Christ. It's hidden to the world. We look no different than anybody else that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. But in that second coming, we will come with Him. And He will know that we are coming with Him. And it will be manifested to the whole world that we've received the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. We're dead to ourselves. We're alive to Christ. Here's the bullet points again. I'll be going over these over the next 2 or 3 hours. Again, being raised with Christ offers new opportunities, not a opportunity. Opportunities. We have daily opportunities because we are alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, being raised with Christ, it should lead to a what? A new mindset. Who can know the mind of God? What's Scripture say about that? We can know the mind of God because we have the mind of Christ. It's in Scripture. It's there for us. He wants us to dwell on the things that are in the heavenlies. So now being raised with Christ, it should lead to a new mindset. Do you have a different mindset than you did last year? Are we dwelling upon the things of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we internalizing them, but we're acting upon them? That's what he would have us to do. Christians are to put off the old man. Put off means what? Throw it. It has to be away from us, all right? We have to put off death, fornication, uncleanliness, passions, evil desires, covetousness, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language, all of these things that, and this would be where you could wrestle with Scripture, we were once partakers of. Well, someone might say, I'm not in that category. Well, God says that you were, all right? We cannot skirt these verses, all right? We can't just say, oh, that doesn't relate to me, all right? But we have to put off these old garments. It's not something that we can bundle up and like throw over our shoulder and just carry with us because, you know, we can deal with all these things ourselves. I can handle my own problems. You know, there's certain areas of my life that I don't need God to be involved in. No, these garments have to be thrown off. They have to be put away. Because what will happen? Look at verse 6 there. How are these things going to be dealt with? For God's wrath will come on those who practice such things. That's the reality of the situation. You know, I had a dear aunt, she's gone now, and I truly believe that she's with the Lord. But she had difficulty with ever seeing God in a position of displaying wrath and punishment and judgment. It was always the God, he's a God of love. See, come on, he's a God of love. How could he do that? He's a God of love. Well, he's a just God, and he will. He's provided a way where we can escape from all of this, but if we choose not to partake of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, there will come a day when God's wrath will be put upon those people who practice such things. Third bullet point. Now that we're raised with Christ, it should lead to a new lifestyle. The first one is that we have infinite opportunities being risen with Christ. The second is that we should have a new mindset. And thirdly, that would lead to having a new lifestyle. And I like verse 10. In fact, if I could have Jonathan, if you could read that verse 10 of chapter 3.
And have put on a new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him.
It's the combination of it, isn't it? Okay, now that we have this renewed knowledge, right? We are now being built up into the image of God, the original intention for us, all right? That's what he's having us do, according to the image of God who created us. So being raised with Christ also should lead to what? Christ-likeness. We should be like Christ. There's no reason not to. There's no reason not to. Okay, that's putting it into context. We'll finally get to the three verses that we want to get to here. The apparel. Again, these are garments now. So therefore, since all of these things apply now to our lives, we are alive in Christ, we've got this new mindset, we've got new lifestyles, we're seeking new and thoughts that really bring us into a more mature relationship, because we're babes at first, we don't know anything, all right? So now, therefore, these are the things that I want you to be clothed in. Because you've cast off all the other rags, the filthy rags that are of this world. And now I want you to bring these things into your life. And that first one is tender mercies. You know, I have the Greek words here, and I'm only going to try a couple of them because I know I'll just murder them. But tender mercy really speaks of, for the Hebrew, it was really bowels of mercy. In your bowels was where it was the very seat of tender affections, of kindness, of benevolence. All right? It was the seat of all of these things that only God could really deliver to us. All right? And that it makes sense that this would be the first one, because so many of these are going to be tied to tender mercies. We would say it is the heart of compassion. That's what we would say. Or a heart of tender mercies. is probably the way we would put it. That's the first one. Kindness. Christodes. You can't validate me, so it doesn't really make any difference. But it's kind, it's gentleness, it's of good service to one another. I like that, because we've been placed purposely together for very specific reasons. Alright? This gathering here, we've talked about it before, is not by luck or happenstance or, gee, it looks like a couple of them here got together. That's not the way God looks at it. He's fitting, right? He's forming. He's putting us together. He's building us up collectively. Alright? And He wants us to put on this garment of kindness. It's good service to one another. It's goodness of the heart. And the psalmist put it in a good way. And these are the things that we would also want to look at. Because of thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. What a wonderful thing. Loving kindness causes us to worship a holy God. You know, I've seen the bumper stickers before. Maybe you've seen them too. It says, today perform a random act of kindness. And that's nice. I mean, that's a nice thing. But is that really fit into a Christian lifestyle? Is it, oh, you know, they're having some problems in Haiti. Let's get the checkbook out because I really haven't done much, you know. So we don't do random acts of kindness, or at least we shouldn't be. I'm not saying that they're bad, but our posture should be, we should always be wearing that garment. We should always have that garment on. So sure, random acts are fine. But for us as believers, we're always wearing that cloak. We always have that garment on. Always supporting each other and being kind to one another. The third garment, humility. Humbleness of the mind. Ready? Taphnephrosune. Having a humble opinion of oneself. I think of that country western song, Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. But I mean, that's the way the world looks at it. It's like, you know, I can just look at some diluted form of myself, and I'm a pretty humble guy. You know, I'm pretty humble. That's not what the Lord is saying here. He wants us to have a humble perspective of ourselves and a deep sense of our moral littleness. All right? Now we put things in perspective from the standpoint of outside of His only beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, how important are we really to God? Are we really maybe, well, you know, we're just kind of along for the ride? Does He say, well, okay, I've brought these people in, all right? How important are we to God? We're very important to God. We have to be important to God because if we do the math. Because we were brought into a right relationship with God through the precious blood of His only beloved Son. Right? So if His Son died, and now we are partakers of that blood, our sins have taken as far as the east is from the west, if His blood is precious, don't we have to be precious also? I mean, it just stands to reason. We are very, very precious to God the Father. But we still need to have a humbleness of saying that we're really insignificant on the planet here, all right? We really have no reason to be puffed up or to be seen bigger than anybody else. That's not the way the Lord worked. Certainly that's not the way that He would want us to work. So it's modesty, it's humility, it's lowliness of mind. It's not a position of weakness. I think John the Baptist put it right. And this would be a good way to look at humbleness. I must decrease, He must increase. And we can take that inwardly, and we can also look at that outwardly, right? When it comes to our own self and our relationship with God, internally, in our prayer time, in our closet, going to the Father and saying, please, have me to decrease. Have Christ increase in me. And we would want that outward expression also. I think that's a good example of humility. Thousands of people were coming to John the Baptist. Thousands. I mean, this was it. You know? You've got people going through Scripture and saying, hey, this looks pretty familiar. Alright? But he's saying, I must decrease. Christ must increase. Humility. Meekness. Praiotes. Closely linked with humility. It's not a word that denotes weakness. Moses was a meek man before God, wasn't he? But we know Moses to be a very mighty man with leading the nation. You know, and it doesn't necessarily, meekness doesn't necessarily just encompass our outward, the way people see us in general, or even the way we would look at each other as believers. It's not only that, but I like this definition here. It's rather an inward humility, first and foremost towards God. Everything leans towards Him, doesn't it? It always leans towards Him. All of these garments that we are wearing, and how we're interacting with each other as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's always Godward first, and then it's outward to the brethren, isn't it? It has to be. That has to be our perspective. So it's rather an inward humility, first and foremost, towards God. It's that tempered spirit towards God in which we accept His dealings with us as good and based in unconditional love. Let me read that one more time. It's a tempered spirit. The flesh does not like tempered spirits. We like to be the edge of things, don't we? It's that tempered spirit towards God in which we accept His dealings with us as good and based in His unconditional love. And therefore, we don't resist His will, do we? We might question it at times, all right? But we know what the foundation of God's purposes and directions are for us. He wants us to be meek before Him. And we need to be meek towards each other. Not a sign of weakness, all right? Not a sign of weakness. It's just that inward humility. Long-suffering. I'm not going to try this one. But it's patience, it's forbearance, it's long-suffering. It's not necessarily a negative thing either, okay? I've really been long-suffering with this or that or whatever it might be. We tend to put negative connotations, but that isn't necessarily true. It's a wonderful quality of self-restraint when provocation is in your face, right? So it could actually be, it's a positive reaction to that which the world would probably react negatively to. Does it make sense? A positive attitude. What makes this person so different? You know, the world can be falling in on them or around them, and they seem to be fine. There seem to be something in their lives that's just giving them that quality of self-restraint in the face of provocation and does not hastily retaliate. If there's anything that we could take as the body of Christ, is not to hastily retaliate towards one another. If somebody was to ask you what the opposite of anger is, it's long-suffering. It's long-suffering. I choose not to be angry because doing it unto the Lord. And it's close associated to mercy. It's a wonderful way to look at it too. Long-suffering is also being merciful. Bearing with one another, or forbearance. Forbearing. Another one that could be taken as negatively, but it really isn't negatively in one context here. It's just to sustain, to bear, to endure. From the marriage perspective, it's to have and to hold. Till death do us part, to have and to hold. We're forbearing as husbands and wives. We forbear with one another. We go through life together. It's to have and to hold. Right? The Lord God sees us as this part of the body in much the same way. We are to have and to hold. Right? We are forbearing. We are going through things as a group. As a collective body, He wants us to forbear or bearing with one another. Forgiving one another. Well, that goes right to the top of the list, doesn't it? Because our heart, it's in ourselves, in our flesh, not to be forgiving people, right? We want to say, you know, this wrong has been done, and it needs to be, and there needs to be either something equal or even greater. I feel better about it when it comes to the wrath of something being brought against it. But forgiving is really to do something pleasant or agreeable, to gratify, to grant forgiveness, to pardon. And how must we forgive? What should be our mindset when it comes to forgiveness? Somebody might say, well, why did you forgive that person of that? Well, Christ forgave me. What else could I do? Forgiveness. So where tender mercies at the very front of this is that bowl. If we were to look at that bowl, it holds all of these garments very nicely. It's very appropriate that it would end in love. It's that bond of perfection. It's that agape love. Do we carry, were we born with that unconditional love in us? No. No. It can only come from, that's why it's a garment. That's why he would have us to put it on, is because we don't own it within ourselves. In fact, you'd have to go through this whole list and say, I'm a pretty kind person, and even before I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, I think I exhibited some of these attributes that I could bring to the equation and maybe help God out here. No. He gives us all of these things. These are garments that he has given to us. It's love is the thing that binds all of these other garments together, just as a belt would tie a garment together. Let's go back to our bullet points. Again, being raised with Christ, we are given and are offered infinite new opportunities. We don't have one shot at this. We're going to fail as believers. Look at the hallmarks of some of the ones in the Bible. Look at Paul, okay? Look at Peter. Peter even struggled after salvation. Remember, he was separating himself and he saw a class system when it came to believers? So was that it? I mean, once that happened and he got called out for it, was that the end of his ministry? Absolutely not. We have infinite opportunities now that we're risen with Christ. It should lead to a new mindset. Where are we setting our thoughts? It should lead to a new lifestyle. What are we doing with our lives? What's been cast? Are we cast off everything, or are we still carrying some of those old garments over our shoulder? Just in case we need them. All these things, are we, since we're now created in the image of God, are we bearing Christ likeness? And then lastly, with this spiritual apparel, we are, or we should be, adorned in our life in, through, and by the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We should be showing these garments not only to one another. This is like a good practice area, isn't it? The tougher thing is when we go out into our car and we got to go back into our lives on a daily basis. Right? We have the mind of Christ. We need to have the garments of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll just go through this last part very briefly. Women like to accessorize, right? So that's what it's called, accessorize. The verses, let's go to Colossians 3 and let's look at verses 15 through 17. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord, and whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So we've got these garments, right? And the one way we can wear them comfortably, the practical application is to keep it first and foremost in our minds, is that we have peace with God. So wherever we may have trouble, wherever we may stumble, wherever we may lose sight of things, always come back to the knowledge that we have a forgiving Father. It's that 9-11 verse, right? 1 John 1-9, all right? He's true and faithful to forgive us if we bring our problems to him, all right? We have a settled issue with God. We are at peace with him. And we're one body. We're not a bunch of little bodies when it comes to Christ. We collectively are one body in him. We need to have these garments of Christ that we would wear. I like this one in verse 16. Let the word of God dwell in you richly. And I was thinking, okay, our word is food. It's his word is food to us. And it's rich food. And how do you see rich food? Because the first thing I always go to is cake. I mean, I can eat a lot of cake. I can't eat a lot of it. I mean, I can eat a lot of it in one sitting, but I can't have it every day, certainly, all right? But boy, it's rich food, and I really like it. But is it really beneficial? No, it's not beneficial to me. That's not rich food from the standpoint of God's perspective. So if something comes into our lives, some problem comes into our life, and if that's the only time that we're rushing to God's word, that's not the way he would have it. He wants us to what? It should dwell in us richly. We need a healthy balanced diet of His Word. Peace with God and allowing His Word to dwell richly in us. By teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, we are teaching one another. Right? Iron sharpens irons here, doesn't it? We need each other from the standpoint of being admonished, to learn, to gain, to learn from the body of Christ is second best to being in the Word itself. And then lastly here, we are to do all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything. Not a few things, not some things, all things. It's all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's by His authority that we do things. And let's just cut off the first several letters of that. He is the author, right? So He's the author, and we're doing it by His authority. He always comes first. He always comes first. Bullet points again. Just to summarize, all right? He wants us to throw off the old garments. And there's a whole litany of them there, right? They have to be gone. They cannot be just maybe put in a box and I'll store them for, you know, because I can really control these situations. They need to be taken off. And we need to be raised in Jesus Christ. We need to know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, right? Just because we have parents that are saved, or just because we go to a Christian school or whatever it might be, or we have Christian friends, that isn't the ticket to get in to see and be with eternally the Lord Jesus Christ. We must receive Him in faith, recognize that He died for our sins, so that we can be risen with Christ. Because if we're raised with Christ, we have daily new opportunities. We have a new mindset. We have a new lifestyle. We can exhibit Christ-likeness, and we can be adorned in the apparel that our life portrays the Lord Jesus Christ, and we can only do that with Him, in Him, and through Him. Let's pray. Father, we do thank You for Your Word. It is a Word that is meat to our souls. Father, it is life. It's not just a rich dessert, but it is our sustenance. It is something that we can live on. We are dead to ourselves. We are alive in Jesus Christ. Father, help us to have the right mindset, where we're thinking upward thoughts, Father. Have us to exhibit new lifestyles. Have us to put on these things: kindness, humility, tender mercies, love, forbearance, and forgiveness. Not just something that we would pull out of a tool belt when we think that we need it, but constantly adorned with the garments of the Lord Jesus Christ. You've taken care of every situation for us. You provide us everything that we need, so as a body that we can function vibrantly for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank You for that. We commit this to You, Father. Have us to not just sit here and dwell upon it in this place, but go out and chew on these things. Father, internalize these things and have us show forth the love of the Lord Jesus Christ to those who don't know Him as Savior. We again thank You, and it's in Jesus Christ's name that we pray. Amen.